Our text for this morning is found again in Isaiah chapter 61. You might as well put a marker there. We're going to be there in the next 2 weeks also. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is the word of God. Father, as we delve into this passage this morning, I pray that you would open our hearts to the message you have for each of us individually today. And may we leave here knowing that we have met with our King. Amen. Encapsulated in these few verses out of Isaiah 61 are four gifts of Christmas, which we were looking at. Last week we looked at the joy of Christmas. Yeah. And this week we're looking at the peace of Christmas. In the Christmas story recorded in Luke chapter 2, we read of the shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And after the angel appears to them, bringing them good news of great joy, we are told that a multitude of the heavenly host appeared with him, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Or other translations, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men." Isaiah, in his prophecy, spoke of the Messiah binding up the brokenhearted. Jesus in Luke chapter 4 is going to read Isaiah 61 and say that this has been fulfilled in the presence of the hearers that day, that the Messiah has come to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring peace to those whose hearts are broken, whose lives have fallen apart. It includes those who are crushed by loss, who are trampled by circumstances, broken by bereavement, beaten down by abuse, despairing because of disappointment, incapacitated by physical ailments, smothered by loneliness, victimized by aggressors, rejected by those they love, paralyzed by bad decisions, destitute because of sin, people who are totally lacking of peace in their lives because the things happening around them are all the antithesis of peace. And at Christmas, we have this gift of peace. But what is peace? Of course, there's a sense in which, you know, nationally we look for peace to keep us from being in wars. But throughout the world and throughout all ages, there have been nations fighting against nations, even while God has said, "I have come to bring you peace." That you would have freedom from disturbance, that you have quietness and tranquility, a calm restfulness, that you would have peace. A word which occurs over 400 times in Scripture. In the Old Testament, the word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. It is a state of wholeness and harmony that is intended to resonate in all relationships. And so if you happen to know some Jewish individuals, they often use shalom as a greeting. It is a wish for outward freedom from disturbance, as well as an inward sense of well-being. To a people who are constantly harassed by enemies, peace was the premier blessing. And so in Numbers chapter 6, God gave these words to Moses to use when he blessed his people, words which I often repeat on a Sunday morning. "Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." We live in a world which is desperately in need of peace, because we live in a world which is broken. A world which is horribly disturbed. It's broken physically, and it's broken in our relationships. We're broken emotionally. We're broken financially, and we are broken spiritually. This brokenness affects our relationship with God. It affects the way we feel about ourselves, and it affects our relationships with one another. Isaiah says the Messiah will bind up the brokenhearted. David writes in Psalm 34, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And the Christmas angels come together and say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." Peace is the second gift of Christmas that we look at this year. According to Isaiah 9, the Messiah, Christ, is the Prince of Peace. Jesus, who has come into our broken world to bind up our brokenness. In the New Testament, the word peace means to join together, to set at one again. It has the idea of gluing something back together, of repairing that which has been torn asunder. And Christmas provides the foundation for three types of peace. Now, I submit that I rewrote my message this morning. I didn't like the way my main points came out, so it's not going to fit the outline in the bulletin. Oh, that's okay. You'll get it. It means it's not going to, it'll come close enough to what's on the screen. The first peace that we have at Christmas is peace with God. Christmas provides the foundation for peace with God. That we have peace with our Maker. Part of the problem of the human experience is that we are constantly at war with our Creator. On the one hand, we want to believe there's not really a Creator, so we can do whatever we want to do. But we understand philosophically that's not a very tenable position. To the extent that we think philosophically, the lack of an existence of a Creator means that we almost have to embrace might makes right. That if there is not a higher power, then it's just the person who's stronger who gets to control the day. That without a supreme being and someone to whom we are accountable, then it is simply a matter of personal choice. There's no basis for morality. But deep within the heart of mankind is an understanding that there is a Creator. There is a God vacuum in the heart of mankind. As we understand that we didn't get here by chance. And that the Creator of the universe ultimately will hold us accountable to standards of morality which He has the right to set. And we live much of our life in a constant battle with this Creator. A constant struggle to be at peace. And if you read through the Scriptures, what you see in the Scripture is that we are pointed to the reality that we have fallen short of the glory of God. That God has every right to demand of us a perfection which we can't deliver. And He has every right to send us to eternal damnation. And then He gives us Christmas. And although we may try, and I know that I have spent many years of my life just trying to be good enough for God. If at first you don't succeed, try harder. Just pull yourself up and be the best you can be and hope that your standard of holiness matches God's standard of holiness. And one day, as I was developing this in my mind, I eventually came to the realization that God's got His standards of holiness really messed up. Or maybe I do. Because I was pretty sure that lying was a little thing. Adultery and murder, those are big things. So as long as I didn't commit adultery and didn't murder, God was obligated to accept me. No lying. Lying was okay, but... And then I'm reading the Scripture and I see David, a man after God's own heart, the adulterer and the murderer, and I see Ananias and Sapphira. These are good people. These are the kind of people a lot of pastors want in their church. They sold a piece of land, and they gave a whole lot of the proceeds of the land to the church. You could help us out. Sell a piece of land, do it by the end of the year. We'll finish in the black this year. However, don't lie about how much you got for it. Ananias and Sapphira, they were just trying to make themselves look good. Anybody ever else been guilty of making yourself look good? Yeah, I do it. God strikes them dead, and he says, David, the adulterer, the murderer, you're a man after God's own heart. Man, his idea of morality is messed up from a human perspective. No matter how much I try, no matter how much I think I'm doing right, I can't find peace with God until God intervenes, until he comes to me and says, I have got a way for you to be at peace with me because you deserve punishment. You deserve death. You deserve hell. But instead of that, I'm going to give you my son. He's going to take the punishment which belongs upon your shoulders. He's going to be punished for you. And because of that, you can have peace with God. It doesn't mean that I want to go around committing adultery and murder. Well, sometimes I want to murder some people, but it's not that I feel it's okay to do those things. I still want to live a righteous life, but I recognize that my striving for righteousness is going to fall short, and that's okay because Jesus has died for my sins. That's the gift of Christmas, that I can have peace with God. I don't have to worry that because I messed up today, and I told a really stupid knock-knock joke, so, you know, if God was a vengeful God, you know, there'd be a little crack of thunder and a bolt of lightning coming here. And if I mess up today, God is not going to say, that's one too many. He's going to say, I love you. That's why I sent Jesus. So you can have peace with God. You don't have to constantly look over your shoulder and wonder if this is the moment when you're going to push God too far. He's been pushed as far as he can be pushed. He sent his son as the gift of Christmas that we can have peace with God. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through Christmas. Christmas not only provides peace with God, it provides us the peace of God. This is the second point. You'll see what it's the peace of God. Peace within ourselves. I maybe think too much about my life, but oftentimes I am tormented by my perception of my failures, my shortcomings. There's times when I get up on a Sunday morning and I think, why are you all here? I look in the mirror and I think, man, I got a face for radio. And if it weren't for the fact that I have peace with God, I could have no peace within. But because we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, we can have the opportunity to experience the peace of God in our souls. To be at peace with ourselves. To recognize that our giftedness is to be used to the best of our ability to bring Him honor and glory. And not to sweat it. As though somehow we're supposed to be something different than what we are. Through his work upon the cross, Jesus purchased our forgiveness and gave us not merely peace with God, but the peace of God. Shortly before he was crucified, Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I give you peace. This inner peace is a gift from Jesus, and it comes to us as a key element of Christmas. I don't pretend to know the battles that you fight with yourself. I suspect that some of you are like Paul. The things you do are the things you don't want to do, and the things you don't do are the things you do, and you struggle with, why am I the way I am? And you have this constant conversation going on in your head that gives you this turmoil. And you can never be good enough for yourself, much less good enough for your spouse, much less good enough for your God. Isaiah said that the Messiah is coming to bind up the brokenhearted. Many of us are brokenhearted. We're in pain over things which we can't control. We are struggling with our own brokenness and the impact that we believe our brokenness has upon the people around us. And Jesus says, I've come to bind up your brokenheartedness, to glue you back together. And he uses some really crazy glue. He uses the glue of the blood of the cross to make us new and to help those around us be guided towards him because of who we are. God didn't create you the way you are so you could be somebody else. He created you the way you are because he loves you the way you are. And when he sent Christ to be the avenue of peace with him, he also wanted to give you the gift of the peace of God. That you just can be satisfied with who you are, because that's who your Creator made you. And no, I'm not suggesting you don't strive to be better. I'm suggesting that you accept it. Where you are is where you are, and you don't have to beat yourself up because you're not someplace you shouldn't be. Jesus said, "Peace I give to you." It is one of the great gifts of Christmas. So we have peace with God, peace of God, and we have an invitation of peace for God. And this is the biggest change. The point was peace with others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the theologian that was killed in Germany in World War II, he said, "The followers of Jesus have been called to peace. When he called them, they found their peace, for he is their peace. But now they are told they must not only have peace, but make it." That we receive peace with God, the peace of God in our lives, and we are called upon to make peace for God. Because one of the great testimonies of the Church of Jesus Christ is that we, from our great diverse backgrounds, we with our different opinions, we with our propensity as human beings to fight with one another, we make a decision to create peace for God. Finding peace with God leads to peace within and directs us to make peace with others. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." Frankly, I sometimes wish that he had said, "Blessed are the peacekeepers." Because a peacekeeper is a different twist than a peacemaker. Isn't there some kind of a firearm that's called a peacemaker? When you think of international peacekeepers or peacemakers, you think different things. You think, well, we're going to keep peace because we're going to have lots of guns, and therefore you won't fight with each other because we're stronger than you. But peacemakers, this involves an effort to bring an end to conflict. It takes a full understanding of our individual peace with God. It takes a full embracing of being at peace with ourselves to do the hard work of making peace with others. The human condition invites us to conflict. The heavenly citizen encourages peace. Romans 14 lays out our responsibility. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Earlier in the letter to the Roman church, Paul had this to say: do all you can to live in peace with the people that like you. Oh, off the notes. Do all you can to live in peace with everyone. This is peace for God. For the sake of our Redeemer, we choose peace. For the sake of our testimony, we make peace. And sometimes we make peace at a price which is nothing near the price that Jesus paid, but we feel like it's way too high of a price. We make peace. You're probably going to get together with family members over Christmas. Some of your family members aren't that nice. Some of you aren't that nice. I like to think of myself as a pretty nice guy. But I'm hanging Christmas ornaments this last week, and my younger sister years ago made me some Christmas bells, some crocheted Christmas bells. And in one of those great moments of niceness, older brother took this dainty, beautiful Christmas bell that she had just given me. Now, I don't know how long she worked on it, but it was the last gift she ever made for me. Because I took the gift and I turned it upside down and said, look, a specimen jar. I'm a pretty nice guy. But not really. But not really. And I'd like to think I could blame all the ills and the bad feeling that happened at Christmas with family members on the other people. But I can't. Sometimes it's just me. And that's the way it is in your household. We might want to believe that we can say it's all their fault, or it's all our fault. But it doesn't matter. We have been given a mandate to make peace for God, because He has given us the gift of peace with Himself at Christmas. And He has given us the possibility, the gift of God, that we would experience this incredible peace. And so, out of that, we ought to be obedient to Scripture, to do everything that we can to live in peace with everyone. Whether they're the black sheep of the family, whether we're the black sheep of the family, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, independents, or they don't vote at all. We choose peace because that is a higher goal than partisanship. Peace with others is possible. It's not just possible. It's preferable. And it's not just preferable, it is expected. Peace. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus rolls open a scroll and he reads these words, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." The angel said, "Good news of great joy. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." The angel said, "Good news of great joy." Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth because of Christmas. I don't know where you find yourself in most turmoil today. If you're finding yourself in turmoil because you don't have peace with God, He has offered the opportunity for reconciliation. We're going to come to the communion table in just a moment. Because ultimately Christmas leads to the cross. It leads to the Last Supper. It leads to the sacrifice of Christ, which we remember in the communion table. And if you lack peace with God today, as we come to communion, I encourage you, start there. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, His blood shed for you, His body given for you, in order that you might have peace with God, that you would pray a simple prayer. Lord God Almighty, I want peace with You. Give it to me through Jesus Christ and what He's done upon the cross. If today you're lacking peace, the peace of God, if inside you're just in turmoil, I admonish you to remember this, that no matter what your past, no matter what your present, God loves you and He desires peace with you and He desires you to be at peace with yourself. And so embrace the gift of God at Christmas. And if today you know that there's somebody who's just under your skin, and somebody that you're under their skin, give the gift of Christmas, peace for the sake of our Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the privilege that we have of experiencing peace. Amen.